Dan Wiederer, Bears beat reporter and enterprise writer for the Chicago Tribune.
You're going to be relying on a lot of young players, guys that have to materialize into who they thought they were.
The Bears are who we thought they were.
On-air contributor for 670 The Score.
We'll mention this mainly because Chicago Tribune writer Dan Wiederer said we would mention this nugget.
Co-host of the Take the North podcast.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
Dan Wiederer.
Thanks, Coach. We'll go first to Dan Wiederer.
On 670 The Score.
Let's do it. Let's go to the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today, and that is where we find Dan Wiederer, Weezy. He of the Take the North podcast, the Bears beat reporter for the Tribune. He got to sit in the air conditioning yesterday at Soldier Field and watch preseason game number one. Dan, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you guys today?
We're good. Wondering if it's hot outside or not. We got to work really early, so we're not sure. But it's nice to have that first preseason game done, because that means we only got two to go before you have realer football, because the preseason games are real, because they do help determine who's on the roster, who's doing what. I understand all of that. What was your biggest takeaway from Sunday's experience at Soldier Field?
Well, to your first point, Marshall, we're getting really close to where the Bears really need to start understanding where they are on the runway to the regular season. 2 weeks from now, the preseason will be in the rearview mirror. They're going to be planning for a Monday night game against the Vikings and a really difficult defense to deal with. And so they have to understand the urgency of these next couple of weeks as they get themselves aligned. Yesterday, I thought it was a good day for a lot of different players out there. You know, Ben Johnson said, look, like, this game doesn't count per se, but it definitely matters. And you saw that in spurts from certain guys. You know, like, there were moments in players yesterday that I think flashed. And what you have to do is now build on the flashes to produce some consistency. I think Austin Booker would be probably at the top of the list of guys who showed out on Sunday afternoon. But Austin Booker had 2.5 sacks against the Bills in the preseason last year, and then it didn't materialize in the regular season as frequently as they wanted. So he just has to continue to kind of stack days together, stack performances together, and see where it goes. I'll also say that 57-yard kick in the first half is one that we should take note of here in Chicago, because for those worried about the leg strength of Cairo Santos, he just gave his new coaching staff a reason to trust him a little bit with not only the kick that he made, but the way he made the kick with so much distance left to spare.
Yeah, I think that was a big part of it, Dan, was the fact that it wasn't just a low-line drive as we saw last season. And the wind wasn't really a factor. I saw there was a slight breeze, slight, coming off of the ribbons off of the top of the goalpost, but I don't think it was anything that would have helped that much in that scenario.
Cairo is so cool to talk to, because he's such a technician and he's willing to kind of share with you what goes on in the lab. And so he spent time this offseason working on distance. And that's not just adding leg strength. It's working on how you kick the football and what trajectory you want to launch it at and how you can kind of perfect that. He put a lot of work into that, knowing what happened last year with the kicks that got blocked. And so it was a good sign there. Also a good sign that the Bears got that ball back with 6 seconds to go, got a 13-yard gain, got out of bounds, got the clock stopped, and were able to kick that field goal. I thought it was funny after the game to hear Case Keenum talk about how the home stadium clock operator might want to be a little bit quicker with that finger, so they don't have to go to replay review to get that last second added back on the clock. But a good moment situationally, I think, for the Bears there, something that they can carry with them going forward.
So we were debating this, Dan, how much can you take away from what we saw yesterday offensively from Ben Johnson, is this is what he does, as opposed to this is a preseason game, and obviously there's a lot of tricks he's going to keep in his bag until the regular season.
Yeah, I don't look into yesterday's game very deeply at all in terms of learning about Ben and what his offense is going to look like and how he's going to run things. This is the preseason. It's very basic. You're trying to get certain things done, but you're not really showing a lot. Your first unit offense is not out there, with the exception of obviously the two competitors for the left tackle job. I think Trapillo got about 36 snaps and Braxton about 24. And so there's a lot more to learn about this Bears offense that will come 3 weeks from now, 4 weeks from now, 5 weeks from now, and beyond. And they've got to be very, very honest again about the urgency of getting themselves there, because now they're crossing that bridge from volume to we've got to refine this to what works for us when we go into the regular season. And I think that process has got to accelerate here in the coming days.
I also, Dan, think that part of our job as those who observe the Bears is, for example, when you bring up Austin Booker, I think it's hard for us sometimes to separate how somebody was used in that space or in that defensive scheme, for example, versus who they can be as a player. And that's a part of it too. Like Cole Kmet, I think, is a little more straightforward. I think that was easier for us to say last year is not indicative of what he can do for this Bears team. But there's a lot of players where I'm asking that question. Guys like Austin Booker. We saw a lot of Zach Pickens yesterday, for example, and trying to figure out if was it use or was there something else happening there? There's a lot of players that fit into that category.
Yeah, well, we won't know, right, until the regular season begins kind of how some of these answers materialize for us. You know, like what I liked about Booker's three sacks yesterday is that they came in a variety of ways. You had the motor sack to start things, you know, okay, that's in there for him. Then you get a nice spin move. And then the last one, the strip sack, where he just absolutely wins right off the snap with explosion and getting that power going, and then taking advantage of a quarterback who didn't feel him coming and pounced and got the ball out and set the Bears up for a 3-yard touchdown drive. And so it came in a variety of ways, which is encouraging for the coaching staff to see. I do remind people that for much of camp here this month, he's been edge rusher number 5. You know, they've had obviously Sweat and Adangbo as their starters. And then behind them, Dom Robinson and Tano Passanio, we'll have to try that one again, have been more favored, right, in terms of getting the reps. And so they're going to have to just continue working through this in the what's left of camp. And again, a big week coming up here with another set of joint practices later in the week against the Bills, and then the preseason game on Sunday night to give them more reference points.
Can the quarterback be gotten to? That's one of the biggest questions I have every single year for the Bears. But another big question I have is who's going to be running the football and how much? And Kyle Manongai showed me a little something, Dan, in that, okay, I know he's a 7th-round guy, but it looks like he could contribute immediately.
His path to contributing would be to show that he can be very reliable on special teams, and then you find your way, you know, hopefully under the 53 and then hopefully into a jersey on game days. And so this coaching staff has loved what they've been able to pour into him and how he's responded to coaching and teaching and the volume he's been able to take on. You know, his scouting report coming out of Rutgers is he's going to do everything the right way, and he's going to play hard for you in every practice and every game. And that was evidenced a little bit on Sunday. And now you just got to find kind of what your backfield ideally looks like. Roschon Johnson out right now with a foot injury that came after the big physical violent practice of last Tuesday. And when windows of opportunity open, you know, it's up to you to figure out how you're going to use those. And Manungai has got a chance here to kind of show that he earns the trust of Ben Johnson and that offensive staff.
We may have not seen anything that resembles the first 15 plays against the Vikings, Dan, but I think we did get a good understanding of how people will be utilized. Like, for example, Manongai was out there and expected with some pretty big pass blocking assignments. You know, there were times where he was on the edge. There were times where matchups depended on him blocking. And that's when I said to myself, as much as I like him, you know, sometimes you really can look small on the field compared to who you're facing as a defender. And I know that is a big part of this offense.
That's a thing. And sometimes, like, you can be right in pass protection and the guys are just bigger, stronger, and faster than you. And it's like, okay, you were very assignment sound, but this is a freak show of a league with the men that are running around here trying to do harm to your quarterback. And so you've got to continually work on all of those things to make sure that you can handle that part of the job. For sure. This running game is something that Ben Johnson's going to lean into. You know, we know very much his commitment level to getting that ground game established and what he thinks that does to open up the passing game and the play action passing game. And so again, this is that period of the summer now where, you know, you feel like you got all the time in the world, and then that hourglass starts to sound louder right next to you, you know, and you've got to figure out how to figure out what your plans are, because September 8th is not as far off as it may seem. And the Bears got to be ready to go that night, because we know whatever happens that night, there's going to be a massive overreaction to it. And it's going to create conversation here that is going to set the tone for how they get out of the gates.
Dan Weider, the Bears beat reporter for the Tribune, also co-host of the Take the North podcast, joining us here on Raheemy and Harrison. Yes, there will be lots of speculation, lots of talk. My thing that I'm trying to figure out right now is it realistic that I would like to see Caleb Williams play, I don't know, a half of preseason football before the regular season gets here? What do you think about how much he'll actually play and if he'll play in the preseason?
I need to see it myself. I need to see it at least once for one game. And you just, because look, like, guys, we've spent almost all of training camp talking about the Caleb Williams evaluation through what the coaching staff has told us we should be looking at, which is pre-snap operation, right? It's taking the play call, getting it, you know, called in the huddle in a way that's urgent and understandable and gets everybody lined up. And then you got to handle the motions and the shifts. And, you know, there's 35 things that you've got to check the boxes on before you even get the football in your hands. And so you can simulate that. You can do a lot of it in these joint practices. You can have your 87 play Sunday morning work through at Soldier Field, but it would be really nice to knock some rust off on a game stage with real live football being played. And I think Ben is leaning in that direction. We'll see kind of how this week unfolds and how their plans may or may not change. But I think Caleb and the entire first unit offense would benefit from that. Just to, you know, it's not a make or break thing for the season, but it is helpful to just getting you off on the right foot when that regular season does arrive.
Well, what happens, Dan? Immediately, I think to Ryan Poles talking about how steps were skipped, and is one of them getting more game snaps, you know, in game reps. And I tend to think that that probably would help get you back on track.
I think some of it with Caleb is just fully meeting the coaching staff at the demand level that they're at in terms of understanding the entirety of the playbook, understanding all the verbiage that you need to spit out to your teammates, understanding all of the motions and shifts, and not only what attaches to which play, but how they need to be timed up. And there's just a heavy volume here of operational stuff that he's being asked to take on. And Ben's been very forthright in saying, look, like, this offense is more complex than the one I installed in Detroit 3 years ago, but I can't turn around and go backwards because the league is constantly evolving. And in order to stay in front of these defensive coordinators who are constantly coming up with new twists and turns to make offenses uncomfortable, I need my quarterback to catch up. And so that's the process that Caleb's in here. It is part of the reason I think that they did that hour-long workout Sunday morning to get him a really high volume. Brad Biggs counted 87 plays that Caleb ran between 8 a.m. and 9 a.m. yesterday. And that's important to get the quarterback used to all of those things that go into a play before a play has even started, you know? And so that's the process that they're in, and they're going to keep piling that on until they feel like the quarterback is acceptably comfortable going into a game that really matters.
One thing I'm going to have to get used to is saying Dan Wiederer, co-host of the Take the North podcast, but not saying the part about Bears beat writer for the Tribune, because I understand you just announced with Mark Grody on the Take the North podcast that you're going to be leaving the Tribune. That's quite the run you had there.
It's a half announcement. We only gave half the announcement. We got to wait a little bit on the other half. But yeah, this is it. This is the last stretch here for me at the Tribune. It's hard to believe. It was a fun-filled, eventful 12 years, zero playoff victories, by the way. I think you established that over time. But I'm not going far. You don't have to worry about getting my Bears takes. They will be prevalent and continuing. But this is the end of the road. I think the Friday joint practice with the Bills will be the last thing I cover for the Tribune. And so my last game covered for the Tribune is a 24-24 preseason tie against the Miami Dolphins, exactly how I envisioned it when I walked through those doors in 2013.
That's how it be sometimes.
I asked this question earlier on Five On It, our segment at noon, so I'll ask you. Was the preseason tie more exciting, even though it was a fake game, than the 6-3 loss to Seattle that was a real game?
There was so much chaos at the end of yesterday's game where it was like neither team really wanted to win it. Like, they both had opportunities in the final 2 minutes to just go ahead and make it a non-tie, and they both kept stepping on their own feet and falling over. And so it was like, oh yeah, this makes sense. Like, let's just end it as a tie. And then to hear, I think it was Scott Novak, the head official, just reminding everyone in the building, yep, no more overtime in preseason. You can go home now. And so I think everybody took great relief in that. You'd seen enough football for that to be an appropriate ending to that game. And I kind of have blocked out that 6-3 game in December last year from my from my consciousness. So I don't remember what my feelings were leaving the stadium that night, other than, God, when is the coaching search starting and ending?
That one was up there for me as far as just so bad it's good. That one was one of my favorites, or least favorite.
I probably could get you a top 25 of so bad it was good losses over 12 years on the beat, but that'd take a little bit of research. But there's been plenty of it over the years.
Well, you know, I'm going to read it, so if that's the way you want to go out, I'm into it.
That'd be a great farewell.
You know, I did joke that there is, you know who's coming back to Hallis Hall on Friday? Mitch Trubisky. So it might be a chance for me to go out reconnecting with Mitch and talking about his return to Hallis Hall, and And I'm sure there's going to be some emotions for him that day. And so his return to Halas Hall come on my last day, and we can reminisce and be nostalgic about all that stuff. And maybe that's my farewell.
I do think the best source is always a former employee. Dan Wiederer, congratulations. We are looking forward to what is next. And just, again, what a wonderful run you had informing us day after day on the Tribune beat.
Thanks, Dan.
And it's just on the Tribune beat. I'll be around. Thanks, guys. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Dan. That was Dan Wiederer with a bit of an announcement. You can still hear him, as we mentioned, on Take the North, and we're looking forward to seeing what is next.